Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lane B and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, January 19, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page XXIX, on paragraph 4, the last paragraph, which begins with, I do not hold with, and ends with, beyond their mental control. Today's readers are Margaret D. for the 12 steps, Wendy M. for the tradition, Laura W. will read and comment on our text, Betsy H. will read the closing for us, page 164, and Robin P. is here for backup. And the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday is 21052. 21,052. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21054. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Margaret D. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Margaret D.?
Oh, sorry. Here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. Wendy M., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA for us?
Yes. Good morning, Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Thanks, Elaine, for your service. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, or prestige, and prestige, divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXIX. Paragraph 4, and I will now ask Laura W. to please begin reading for us.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in snowy South Jersey. I do not hold with those who believe that alcoholism is entirely a problem of mental control. I have had many men who had, for example, worked a period of months on some problem or business deal, which was to be settled on a certain date, favorably to them. They took a drink a day or so prior to the date, and then the phenomenon of craving at once became paramount to all other interests, so that the important appointment was not met. These men were not drinking to escape. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. Wow. This is an amazing paragraph. You know, this describes to me, Dr. Silkworth was so smart. What a smart man for somebody who, for him to be able to identify and really nail down the cycle of addiction and the, I look at addiction as like a clock. You know, the allergy of the body is the big hand at 12 o'clock. The obsession of the mind is at 3 and 6. And then you pick up at 6 and you go on that binge, and it's that cycle, and the allergy of the body is affected again. So he's telling us here that, you know, I don't believe that those who believe that alcoholism is entirely a problem of mental control, because truthfully, if this was just a mental illness, the mental disease would be handled by just working the steps. However, I still have that allergy of the body. I still have that physical aspect of this disease, which is handled with abstinence for me. So I need both in my life. I need abstinence and the steps. I cannot work one without the other. I have tried for many years and many times. Dr. Silkworth worked with over 40,000 alcoholics, and the numbers do not lie. You know, he's telling us that this man or people, everything that I lived for, like I had so much going for me. And, you know, you look forward to something, for example, and a few days before the event or a few days before the award or whatever, I pick up. And why do I do that? Because I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And unless I have a real psychic change, this is going to happen over and over. The disease is out of my control. This cannot be cured, caused, or controlled by anything of this world. For me, it has to be a spiritual awakening. And I know today that by working the steps, I do not need to bring willpower into my life if I bring God into everything. So if I, you know, if I bring my higher power into a difficult decision, my higher power is going to take care of me. Dr. Silkworth knew that these men were not drinking to escape. They didn't want to. It wasn't something that they really, you know, maybe they had been sober for a day. Maybe they had been sober for 30 days. They didn't want to pick up. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. For me, I know that I do not have the craving if I do not put the substance in my body. So my choice with God in the driver's seat is not to put the substance in my body. It's poison to me. I can look at it today and not even be tempted by it. It's like looking at, I don't know, a piece of dirt. It's just not something that I would put in my mouth. And I can only say that, and I say that with humility, honesty, and gratitude, because it's not something that I'm doing. This is God doing it for me. You know, left to my own devices, without God, I probably would be putting stuff in my mouth that I shouldn't. So Dr. Silkworth is just reminding us that this is not just a mental illness. This is an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, and it's a vicious cycle unless we have a psychic change. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura W., for getting us started. Awesome. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Yeah, so if you haven't shared on any meetings in the last couple of days, then we invite you to give your name and where you're coming from. And Barbara, I heard you. You're first on the list.
Yeah, Wendy here. I'm from New Jersey.
Okay, Barbara. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to take a line at Barbara, and after I do that, you'll be the first to share. Okay? Hold on just a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who Wendy else would M. like to share? Wendy M.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Oh.
Anybody else? Star one to unmute. Plenty of room. Okay.
Robin,
we'll
P.
kick off.
Robin P. Costa Rica.
Robin P. Costa Rica. Okay. We've got Barbara D., Wendy M., Wendy B., and Robin P. Please share with us, Barbara.
Yes, I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and I'm an alcoholic. I just wanted to share that those men in this story here that
Barbara, somehow you got unmuted. Got muted, and would you please press star one to?
I'm sorry. Could you hear me? All right. Yeah.
I hear you now.
This program has been a gift for me. This is a gifted program for me, where there's no way out for me and my alcoholism that I'm free from. Number one, and food. Now I'm thanking God because I had a threefold illness, junk food and alcohol. It was both. Now, it's like a bipolar. But I'm saying these men that were doing, that wanted to have this drink, I don't know. But this program for me is the allergy spiritually that I have. I need to have the steps and my eating together because it works together with my condition that I have. I have chronic illnesses. And I know that the recovery in this group is that not eating compulsive, eating healthy foods is going to be good for me, and knowing what's best for me in my health and condition, because I was really out there. I mean, I was drinking, overeating, and doing it all. And I came from a long way. And this book about the alcoholism is the main thing of my addiction, all of us, food, because I went from the alcohol to the food. I thought the food would cure me, but it doesn't. There's a phenomenal craving, the same with alcohol, there's a phenomenal craving with the food too, and it's sugar and starch. And I was told that years ago, but guess what? I didn't pay it no attention. I just kept on relying on my own self-will, going along and just eating what I wanted to eat, and then it made me get sick. And I had to learn the harder way. So now that I have this program of recovery and I have food choices that I can make, from practicing it, I'm learning so much. There's so much good foods that I can eat without eating refined sugar, processed foods and flour. It's so much that we have to give now. We are really gifted if we really take, investigate and look into these things, because that's what I have to do every day. I wake up every morning. I have to ask God to help me every day. But it's a different life now. It's a better life now. And it's the gift of God. And I thank God I have a nice sponsor that I can call her. And I got two, as a matter of fact, that knows this program that is really good to me and helping me so much in this program.
Gentle
I was
reminder.
Disconnected from you guys because my phone had went out for Christmas. But thank God I'm back on. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Barbara W. Wendy M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Wendy B.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, God, to be on this line with all of you is a sheer miracle. And thank you for the opening lead. Beautiful. So there's like a couple things here that I absolutely love. You know, so the phenomenon of craving at once became paramount to all other interests. So that reminds me of like being at a party with the buffet table. And I know somebody's talking to me, but I have no idea what they're talking about because I am just eyeing which food am I going to pick up next. And that's not only true at a party or a buffet when I have no idea what people are telling me because I don't care. It's true of my life, right? Like I went through my life where food was and people were not. I even have an ex-husband who is convinced we got divorced because I was too into food. I don't know about that. I can work it out with God. But I just love that. You know, it just names my experience to a T, you know. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not listening to you. I'm sorry, you're not interesting. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about the food. And then this next line, which I love, these men were not drinking to escape. Well, okay. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. Overcome a craving. So the way I talk about this, maybe with sponsees, is, you know, the first couple of Oreo cookies did the trick. I was actually eating an Oreo. After that, I wasn't eating an Oreo. I was just overcoming a craving because I was out of control, you know. And I guess what I love so much about the doctor's opinion and this book, it names our experience to a T. Like nobody in my whole life has ever explained why I ate, you know, Oreo cookie 3 to 30. Like that's never been explained. And now it gets explained. We're overcoming the craving, not the cookie. I absolutely love that. And I will also say that I don't just pick up cookies to get the hit, right? I pick up rage and anger and jealousy and low self-esteem, you know. And once I picked up the rage, just like the cookie, I need to overcome the rage, right? Because I'm getting a hit from it. So I just wanted to add that because that's just been my experience, that it's food and then it's beyond food. Thanks for letting me share it.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. Wendy B., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Robin P. Please share with us, Wendy.
Good morning. Yes, good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I just love this description of my disease. You know, it just reminds me of, you know, a small child screaming and having a tantrum trying to get his world to conform to his demands. You know, he's only aware of his own discomfort. You know, he's just so self-absorbed, no awareness of, you know, any damage he's causing, you know, not aware of this discomfort of the people around him. You know, this is immaturity. You know, it's being self-centered. And when I'm in my disease, you know, that's what I'm like. You know, I'm only concerned with instant gratification, not concerned for the consequences of my actions. And, you know, they don't even enter my mind. You know, all my other responsibilities and commitments just fall by the wayside. You know, it just reminds me of the story, you know, of the two brothers. And the older one came home starving one night after a long day of work, and you know, his brother had prepared a stew and he demanded to have some of it, you know, and he was willing to give away his birthright as being the oldest, you know, to have the inheritance, you know, just for a bowl of stew. And, you know, it doesn't make sense when you look at it logically. You know, the trade-off isn't a wise choice, you know, yet we make it every time, you know, when we're under the control of our disease. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for Program and the Big Book that gives us clear direction on how to get out from under the tyranny, you know, of our diseased thinking, you know, that just wants to damage us and wreak havoc in our lives, you know, and it gives us a path to grow up, you know, and become adults, you know, that carry responsibility well and meet the challenges of life with integrity, and we learn how to have follow through, you know, and you know, it just is truly miraculous change, and just thank you, God. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. Robin P., you're up next. Please share.
Hi, Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Thanks so much for the meeting, Elaine. Everyone is doing service on this meeting. You know, I feel like it's such a disease of allergy as well. You know, I ate poison. I was just eating poison. I was eating GMOs. I was eating just anything that had poison in it. You know, sugar and white flour. I mean, what did I think was going to happen? And now, you know, I'm an organic, gluten-free vegan, and I don't eat poison today. And my food's my medicine. And I am completely different. I used to want to die. I want to live. And, you know, I also think it is a disease of sabotage because the timing, the anxiety that would come up when something good was about to happen, and that's when I would pick up often. And I feel like there's such a great thing that happens with abstinence and recovery. Good orderly direction, you know, is another way, you know, way I think of God, and that things go well when I allow them to, you know. And I always remember I had starred on Broadway for a long time when I was younger, and we had a masseur, a massage guy who came every week to the theater, and then sometimes we went to his place, and he was a blind massage guy who had on his refrigerator in Braille and English, how good can I stand it? And I feel like that's my recovery. How good can I stand it? How can I let in the good and be of service to God and my fellows? And it turns out that my favorite moments are when I'm of service to God and my fellows. And I see the great orchestra conductor in the sky, bring in the Palmers, that's our last name, bring in these people, and then we get to be a blessing to them. And it's happened to us as well when other people are blessings to us, because we're available. We're honest, open, and willing to be of service because we don't have all this poison in us. So I'm really grateful to be on the phone today. I'm so grateful to be abstinent and recovered today. God bless you all. I'm sending you all a big hug from Costa Rica. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Okay, though we do value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share every third day in order that others might share their experience too. We're commenting on page XXIX, paragraph 4, the last paragraph, which begins with, I do not hold with those who believe, and ends with beyond their mental control. Who would like to comment on this reading?
And Marcia E. from Florida.
I heard. And B. and Marcia E. from Florida.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Bonnie B. from Florida. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Star one to unmute. Okie dokie. We've got Ann B., Marcia E., and Bonnie B. Please share with us, Ann.
Hello, this is Ann B. from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. And I am a compulsive overeater, and I've been abstinent for 19 years, but I don't like the word recovered. What's coming back to me when I listen to this paragraph is my cousin's wife's funeral. My cousin's second wife died of cancer, tragically, and she wasn't that old. And I went to the funeral and the reception, and then there was a meal for the family afterwards. And And the reception, all I could see was the food table. And, you know, at the time, I wasn't even aware that I was behaving inappropriately. You know, that I was ignoring my poor cousin and his and the people and the friends of this woman who had died, who had all just lost. And my my cousin adored his wife. And his sister and brother were there, and they adored the woman who had died. And all I could think of was the food table. And then I got there. I had to really kind of had trouble getting through the crowd to get to the food table. And then when I got there, I was disappointed that there wasn't that much, because there was a meal planned later for the family. And I all I could think about was that food table. And, you know, and I look back on it, and I how disgusting. How disgusting that I couldn't focus on the people there who had lost someone they loved. Now, I didn't know that woman that well. I only knew her slightly. She was a delightful lady. And but there were people there who were close to her who had lost someone who was very important to them, and all I could think about was the food table. And I was insane in a way. And it wasn't like I was starving to death. I was overweight, right? And I had plenty of food at home. And I had had breakfast and lunch before. And all I could think about was that food table. And it really, that was, it was so inappropriate and so inconsiderate of my family. And I just was so oblivious to the way that I was behaving. And I'm so glad that now I know that when I go to a funeral, I'm supposed to focus on the people and not on the food table. And I will pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. Appreciate your share. Okay, Marcia E. is up next, followed by Bonnie B.
Hi, this is Marcia E. from Florida. I want to say
Marcia.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Thank you very much. I am a recovering sugar addict, food addict. This is my first time sharing on this Vision for You. I'm a newish member, and I want to thank everybody. Thank you, leader, and thank everybody on the call for your service. This process, this call, this study group is changing my program, which of course is changing my life, moving my program forward in ways that, of course, were unimaginable to me. In a challenging time, what time isn't challenging, that I needed the help. And it's just been a miracle. And I can't thank everybody. I cannot thank everybody enough. Speaking to what we have been reading, these men were not drinking to escape. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. I was recently looking for a place to do some additional writing, and I picked up an old journal, and I was flipping through the three or four pages I had written in it previously in 1990, and I found a section that said February 16th, 1990. Back to Nutrisystems, weigh 169 pounds, lost 35 pounds, gained 24 pounds in the last 15 months, a new personal best. And that describes my compulsive overeating. That describes my life at that time. An absolute roller coaster and yo-yo, up and down. And I restricting what I ate, and therefore restricting myself from my allergic foods, though I didn't know those were my allergic foods at the time, always worked. I was always able to lose weight, and then I always picked them back up and gained the weight back rapidly. And why did I pick them back up? Not to escape, because I had nothing to escape from. It was to overcome a craving beyond my mental control. And I had tons of mental control, you know, and it turns out that it was only putting down my mental control and putting down that it wasn't really mental control, it's just this self-will, is what enables me to work my program, get in touch with my higher power, stay in touch with my higher power, and be humble and hear the messages, whatever the messages are that I get, and improve as a human being and move forward.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Marcia E. Okay, Bonnie B., you are up next.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, Elaine, and everyone else. And the opening was beautiful. And the rest of the shares have been amazing as well. Grateful to be here. Bonnie B., in the state of Florida, compulsive overeater, born that way, and I will die that way, but by the grace of God today, living sober. What a gift we have in this chapter in this book. I mean, I can remember when I first came into this program 12 years ago and reading the doctor's opinion and thinking, what? This is me. This is exactly me. And never having understood what me was. Having worked it so hard to try to figure out, why am I doing what I'm doing? I don't want to do it. And as others have said, like, I mean, I mean, people would say to me all the time, you have such conviction, you have such strength, you have, and yet in this area, zero, zip, and not knowing why, and doing everything that I knew to do, everything, as page 31 says, here's some of the methods I've tried, but not understanding. And so what a gift to have this paragraph say, I do not hold with those that believe that it's entirely a problem of the mental control. That brought freedom to me. That brought total freedom to me. Like, you can hang that one up. There's more to it than just that. It's okay. You can show up just like you are. I'm going to show what the other half is. And then to have someone challenge me, not just in the area of, like, the red light and the green light, but for me, what kept me in bondage for several years was the yellow light foods. They call them yellow light foods. I call them negotiated foods. The ones that maybe I don't think are that bad, but if you ask me to get rid of them, I'm like, no thanks, right? Like, it's got a hook already in me, that kind of stuff. So when I look at this and I think about how it's not the mental thing, I mean, it's not lack of my assent as to what's going on. It's the actual allergy. Okay, well, if I can identify what that is, then I've got a piece to the puzzle. And the second component for that piece was not just the trips to the drive-thrus, but it was the other stuff. It was for me, it was Diet Coke. It was the stevia. It was the things that were like, my disease speaks to my own voice. It was the things that were screaming, there's no calories in that. You gotta be kidding. They're nuts. They're crazy. To be able to put those two pieces together and then bring it to God and know that God's the only one who can, or higher power, is the only one that can do what needs to be done, I can release it all. So I am so grateful. Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited when we get to read this book, because here is the solution, and every single part draws me back to my Creator. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everyone. Have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. So we have time for some more shares, and though we value everybody's experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page XXIX, paragraph 4, I don't hold with those who believe, and ends with beyond their mental control, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Hi, Laura LW, I would like to share.
Hi, Laura LW, who else?
Diana R. in Arizona.
Diana
R. Barbara E.
Deb F.
Barbara E.
In California.
Deb F.
Ann P.
California.
I heard somebody in California. Who was that?
Agnes.
Did you hear me, Sylvia F.? Are you not hearing me?
Oh, hi, Sylvia F. I'm not sure if we have time for you, but I would love to hear you.
Oh, I was trying to get in there, but for some reason you weren't hearing me. Okay, I'll pass.
Oh, several names at the same time, I'm afraid. I'm so sorry. Okay, so we'll do what we can. If anybody wants to go a little brief, that would be okay. So I've got Laura W., Diana M., Barbara I didn't get the first initial of your last name. Deb F, Agnes C, and Sylvia F, if there's time. Okay. Please share with us, Laura W. You'll be followed. Who is that?
Barbara. I'll pass so the other person can speak.
What a kind, generous offer. Thank you so much, Barbara. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Laura W., you'll be followed by Diana M. Please share with us, Laura.
Hi, good morning. This is Laura W., and this paragraph, every time I read it and the first time I read it, jumps out to me because I do not hold with those who believe that alcoholism is entirely a problem of mental control. And I remember this, and the first time I read the big book, I found out this solution to my problem. I remember this like it was yesterday when I did not believe that my alcoholism and my food addiction was entirely a problem of mental control. I had worked a period of months on a job interview deal, and it was a big job right out of college in the fashion industry. Stood over this hotel, and I looked at these Biscayne Bay Islands. It was in the 80s, and they were surrounded by pink. And I was on my way to a job interview that anybody would kill for in the fashion industry, and I had really hit the big time. And that night, before I got to Miami for that job interview, well, it was Miami in the 80s, so we were all partying. But that morning before my job interview, I started eating as I looked out my window over those islands of the Biscayne Bay, and they were surrounded by pink fabric. There was an artist that was doing some art project. I'll never forget it. And I looked out that window, and I couldn't move. I overate and I was frozen. And here I had this big job interview and a car was coming to pick me up. And my boss called me and I was late. And my boss said, "Why are you late? What's going on? They're waiting for you." And the food just gripped me. And so where he talks about many men, for example, who have worked a period of months on a business deal, which was to be settled on that certain date. Yeah, I took a bite that morning, and the phenomena of craving kicked in, and I was a couple hours late from my job interview. I did end up getting the job, but I can remember standing out that window and looking over Biscayne Bay draped in pink and thinking, why am I not moving? Why am I overeating? Why am I gripped? And it was because that phenomena of craving kicked in, and it took over my body. And until I got recovered and I read that in the big book, I had no idea why I couldn't move that day. But now I know. And I am recovered from overeating and still dealing with life. So thank you very much. And with that, I pass. Laura L.W. from Ohio.
Thank you, Laura L.W. Thank you very much. Okay, Diana M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Deb F.
Hi, this is Diana R. I don't know if you met me.
Sorry about that. Thank you. Go ahead.
No problem. This is Diana R. in Arizona, a grateful member and an overeater. And I'm just wanting to express my gratitude for this big book and this meeting, that we have this solution, and to be reminded that it's craving beyond our mental. And as other people have shared, you know, the I for illness and the we for wellness. And yesterday I was reminded, after I worked through the steps, I'd become more aware and I wasn't feeling well. And I was craving food. And I said, what is this? And to be aware of, I was reminded that I was heading towards using food as the solution. And so today I can be reminded and work these steps and look at the book for instructions. And I just wanted to express my gratitude this morning for this program and everybody on this meeting. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane R. Okay, Deb F., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Agnes C.
Hi, good morning, everyone. And I'm a grateful member here at Vision. And I just want to say that this passage means a lot to me. In fact, I'm redoing the steps again because I kept having some cravings and I didn't know what it was. And I remember a member asked me about something that I was having on a daily basis. And she goes, how can you have that? And I said, I don't have a problem with it, but I was having low-level cravings. And it turned into a big-level craving. So I'm just saying that it's really good to slow down. It's been really good to slow down and look through the big book again, listen to the podcasts, and be convicted by what I'm hearing, by what I'm reading, what's jumping out at me. And it is true. You know, if I'm no different. If I ingest something that is something that's going to set me off, hey, I'm gonna keep craving. I'm gonna keep looking for my business. And it's really good to go back through this again. It's really, really good. So, and I'm so glad for the way the big book is written. And I don't know. That's about all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb F. Okay, Agnes C., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sylvia F.
Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine. Thanks.
Hi. This is Agnes A., as in Apple, from Central California. Yeah. what do I have to say about this? I think what this calls to mind about craving and mental control, you know, I can laugh now. But now that I know what my alcoholic foods are and that if I call them, they call me. If I don't call them, they don't call me. And by the grace of God, one day at a time, with program and all the 12 steps and supports we have, I don't call those alcoholic foods one day at a time. Call it the psychic change, call it the neutrality, you know, but I can still look back about this mental control and craving. And what comes to mind is so many times in the past when I had a big event coming up, maybe it was a reunion that I wanted to look good for. Maybe it was a vacation that I wanted to look good for. Maybe it was a family wedding that I wanted to look good for. And I had like a year, 2 years, 18 months, you know, to diet and lose weight, to take care of this problem. Sure, I could do this, right? But each time I had the alcoholic foods, the craving kicked in. And those days came by, and instead of losing, I was overweight, you know. Now, 1 year into abstinence and the steps, having worked the steps with a sponsor, and what have you, I am enjoying that neutrality. There is no mental control. God is doing for me what I can't do for myself in a very amazing way. Somebody said it's now you recoil, right? So now I go to the grocery store. Now I go to the cafe. And by the grace of God, I don't go to those things. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I go on vacation now and I tell my sponsor, oh, it's no kitchen, no. And she's like, God is doing for you what you can't do for yourself, you know. So as long as by the grace of God, I don't pick up, you know, those alcoholic foods, I'm neutral around them. I've had a psychic change on a daily basis, conditional on following this program. One day at a time, the craving is gone. There is no struggle. And God just helps me. And I'm so grateful. So, you know, the craving is one bite is too many. Just leave it alone, and it leaves you alone by the grace of God and program. And with that, I pass. I'm so happy to have 1 year abstinence.
That's wonderful, I can say. Thank you so much. Sylvia F., you are up next. Please share with us, Sylvia.
Thank you so much. This is Sylvia F., recovered in Portland right now. And thank you so much for the fellow who offered to step aside. I actually surprised myself because it's rare where I feel so compelled to share that I inserted myself with such velocity. So always surprise myself. too. This chapter and this part of the reading, when I first read this, I've been in program a long time, maybe 19 years. When I first read this quite a few years ago, I remember crying when I finally could understand that my weight and my behaviors were not my fault. It was such relief. So even though I didn't know exactly how it all worked, I just felt like everybody else in the world had self-control and I didn't, and I was a bad person. So this was a great relief. But the nuance that I wanted to talk about, that as I'm in program a long time, I feel the difference between whether it's a craving for a substance or a craving to escape myself. So if you're new in the program, this becomes a little bit, you get more aware as you work the steps, and it becomes more possible to understand what's happening while it's happening. So for me specifically, if I'm going to like my son's house where I think it's going to be high anxiety or I'm not going to perform well or I'm going to be judged, there's something that I can't control, I will still think about swinging by a mini mart. I won't do it, but I can notice the sensation of that there's an emotion there I don't want to feel. It doesn't matter what it is. There's an emotion there I don't want to feel. But what it's different than if I've triggered the physical craving, because the physical craving is I'm craving, in my circumstance, it would be craving sugar or chocolate. I'm craving it so badly. And I might not have picked up something on purpose. For me, it was like recently I was eating a balsamic dressing with everyone and I didn't realize that it had enough sugar in there that it was going to trigger my allergy. But being able, from all these years in program and practicing the steps and going to God, being continuing on and hearing everyone else talk about their experience, for me it is so such a relief to be able to feel the distinction between, is this a physical craving or is this a craving of the mind where I can't control something, I don't want to be here, I'm dreading something. And those feelings are distinct for me now, and I'm very, very grateful, because it doesn't matter, you know, abstinence, in a way it doesn't matter. Abstinence is what gets us neutrality. Abstinence is what gets us into all these promises.
Just
but
a reminder.
There's a lot of, thank you. Thank you so much. That the nuance I find is very helpful. And thank you so much for giving me the time to share. Okay.
Yes. And thank you so much for Barbara for passing her share time. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Betsy H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, I'm Betsy H., recovered reader in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.